Well, here we are again. Mark Stanton, Welch here. This is Tools for the Times. We are on Block 3, Session 3, moving on down that great highway tonight. We look at something about energy. It's tending your energy garden. What a beautiful way to say it. When that dropped in, I went, that's good. That's good because, you know, I thought it was really just about clearing chakras and a few other things, but the more I put effort into it, the more I put energy into it, the more energy was revealed to me in terms of just really how sweeping this topic is and how subtle and profound the use and awareness that comes from the awareness of energies and how we put to use this awareness. It really has a profound effect upon how life shows up for us. So we're going to look into that tonight, and although there aren't necessarily activities going on tonight, it will seem like there are, because there's a lot of information and reminder of things that one can do to work with one's energy. We will actually put that into action next week, but as far as tonight, it'll be an interesting one designed to reawaken your awareness of the variety of energies that live within you and without you. And when I say without, I just mean on the outside of your physical self. Let's start off the energies here with the solfeggio tones in this beautiful And so it is. So I'm looking around the room with my bed unmade here, filled with the energy of the past few nights in terms of just trying to get sleep, all those energies moving around. And I see I have a couple balloons here that are still up. They're from Happy Birthday. So, you know, technically my birthday month is over, but looks like we're allowing it to go a little farther because as I look over at the door, I have two Christmas stockings there because, you know, it's just around the corner. And did it just happen? Because every day is like Christmas. Every day is when Santa comes. And I look up on top of the piano, and I have all these figurines, these statues, and just took three guys with me when I was out doing workshops, the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow, that represents some energetic elements and some buy-ins that we did, and that unwavering awareness, well, once you find it, it's unwavering, that we have all we need already contained within us, and it shows up in our moments of living if we just pay attention. I look over here, and I see a couple of mantras that are sand paintings from the Taoist tradition. Not the Taoist. That could be. But more of the Buddhist tradition, where they do these beautiful, intricate sand paintings and spend days making these intricate creations. And then when it's all over, they just pick up the thing and all the sand melds into one another and it becomes the nothingness again, just a pile of sand. It's a beautiful thing. And then over here, I'm looking at the energy of a picture of the Winnie the Pooh characters. It's on one side of the house as I entered the studio to help me remember that really I need to come from a playful place and the place of the child self when I go in there to do that kind of creation. I'm a Tigger fan. I have devotion to Tigger. Four or five separate different Tigger forms are lying around in the bed. I have a series of three angels. I believe one is Raphael, and then there's another one that's out of this form that is Mikael, and then two others that I'm not remembering who they are at the moment, a bunch of Native American figurines. And the reason I'm describing all of this in not necessarily blatant detail is the fact that one of the elements of how we tend our own energy garden is to make sure that our environment feeds us. Now, it's a fine line between feeding and then the other gorging on it, because in this particular environment, I have a limited amount of space and I have a lot of things that I want to have my energy in. And so there they are. I even have Oh, he looks like he's about a foot and a half tall, stuffed Santa Claus that I had when I was a boy. It was part of the house and part of all of those times when the Christmas times, and he was always out. I think I got that. That's the one thing I got. I'm hoping, and maybe he is. He's stuffed with money or something. Never thought about that until now. Interesting. And there's a series of house plants sort of spattered all over the place. I love them. I have them here. I let them do their thing, and some of them could use a little trimming because I have a certain type of plant that grows everywhere. I've got a plant that I've had for probably 20 years that it's a single stalk. It's like Jack and the Beanstalk, and it goes up to kind of palm leaves at the top. And it, through the winds of time and through the experiences here, has altered itself and taken on many different shapes here as it grows towards the light. So, energy. Energy, taking care of one's field, taking care of what goes in and what goes out is really what tonight is all about. And I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but boy, didn't it. So I'm going to do a song right now very quickly. It's a little bit high. It was written back in the early 90s when I had a different kind of voice. A little unpracticed, but you'll get the flavor of what it is. It's called Energy, and it's off of a CD called Wake Up. Energy, flow through me. Energy. Endlessly, the pulse of heaven, the wave of life, the dance of particles through boundless space and time. And everything, energy can be seen, a song of light and love, a breath of God, a field of sight and sound, to build the once upon. Nothing seen is as it seems. Go deep within, go in between. Shift the focus, synchronize. Be the truth with open eyes. Open eyes, symbiosis between all forms of life, expectations can bend and shape the living life. Energy, alchemy, energy, energy. I let the energy release and flow through every part of me. I become connected to each living thing, and I can see beauty in the plants and creatures, you and me, partners in this symphony, this harmony, this living dream, this living free. And There you go, a little testament of the early 90s in terms of how I viewed energy at the time. And that was inspired by, the hex was his name? James Dillard, no. Redfield, James Redfield from the book he did back then. Right now I'm forgetting the name of the book, but it's had the 12 elements in it, the 12 steps, 12 precepts or viewpoints, and I took energy was one of those out of there. And I recall writing a bunch of songs just for that book with the hope that he was going to be open to me traveling with him for the rest of his life. He wasn't. But I got a bunch of good songs out of it. That's the way energy moves. But that song contains some elements that were already esoteric at the time about the way energy moves. And really these last 25 years have reinforced that this indeed is very accurate, where science is beginning to fall in line, has actually fallen in line with a lot of the new perspectives on how energy moves. The bottom line for us is that we are energetic beings. So we're going to go from that. But first I'm going to go to my good friend Rich Work. Never met him, but he's my good friend through his work, no pun intended, from the Veils of Illusion. This is a proclamation about the atomic structure of my body. It just felt like a good one to speak right in the beginning here. I'll include it in the handout for next week, maybe this week, under Empowerments. From the divine love within my being, I call forth all power points within my being to align themselves in divine perfection. I transmute all disharmonic patterns and energies creating illusions of separation and misalignment into the divine expression of integration and alignment. I accept the resonance of my soul and embrace the magnificence of my being. I transmute the vibrations of unworthiness and self-punishment into the divine expression of creative love. I invoke the law of magnetic attraction to bring forth to me my heart's desires in peace, joy, and harmony. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Oh. Energy flow through me, energy endlessly. The pulse of heaven, the wave of life, the dance of particles through boundless space and time, already tearing down the perspectives that we traditionally have had about the way things work. Energy, everything. Energy can be seen. A song of light and love, a breath of God, a field of sight and sound to build the once upon. It is the fabric upon which we create. It is the very force that we create. The force of creation itself. It is the force that actually creates the form. So it is the essence of all of that process. And as energetic beings, here we are. Nothing seen is as it seems. Go deep within, go in between. Shift the focus, and synchronize, and be the truth with open eyes. It really comes down to that. Be the truth with open eyes. Open eyes, open heart. We let go of the limitations that we bought into, however they were planted, wherever they were planted, in whatever form. We realize that those are basically blocks to the flow of the energy within us, and we choose to stand in our power and presence and act as if we are so much more than we have ever been, and indeed that is the truth. We take on the energy. We embrace it, we transform it, we flow with it. Symbiosis between all forms of life, the energetic connection we carry with all things, our power to impact what previously was seen as impervious, as solid, as unimpactful, is oh so much more. And we'll see some more of that a little bit later in the talk tonight. I let the energy release and flow through every part of me, and I become connected to each living thing, and I can see the beauty of the plants and creatures, you and me, partners in this symphony, this harmony, this living dream, this living free. Good way to start. Let's see what I said for the introductory paragraph. Let's say it again. Everything is vibration, energy oscillating in an ever-changing dance. We are in vibration, energy moving to align into a higher frequency balance that will deliver to us our inherent capacity to live fully and experience all the variety this earth plane has to offer. And all we have to really do is pay attention and respond in flow. So, too, we are connected and interconnected with all forms of life in a harmonious composition of symbiotic support. Everything we see, we hear, we feel, we taste, and smell are some form of energy. Our thoughts, beliefs, words, and intentions, all energetic forms shape-shifting from the now to the next now. Our set of bodies are all varying frequencies that mutually serve one another, stepping down from the spiritual to the physical level. We live from the inside to the out, from the outside to the in, interfacing with the waves and particles that align in this breath as called forth by your own higher self. There's your recipe for living in this dimension right there in that paragraph. Ever embraced in the fields of energy, we tumble and stumble or surf the awakening edge depending on our own level awareness and degree of expanded consciousness. Gardeners of the now, tending the energetic field to manifest bumper crops of I am expressing as me. We enter the doorway of looking at energy now. I wanted to share a text that I sent earlier today. I was in the midst of this particular program working on this information. And someone contacted me and asked if they said they just felt that it was important to contact me, see if I'm okay. Well, it's been an interesting time here. I don't know if it's just on the Central Coast or around. It's been impacting Oakland, I know that, because my daughter has gotten in touch with me. And I've heard stories from around that others are being impacted. And whether this is still the wave X that is now actually beginning to manifest, who knows? Maybe it's the aftermath of that beautiful eclipse that I slept through. I don't know. But here's what I said. I said, I'm doing my work. I'm connected on many levels to many things, each serving my vibration in a specific way. I listen, I watch, I respond, I move to the next breath. I feel centered and am moving towards completion for tonight's call. It is all energy and it moves and soothes and grooves its way into and through my awareness. Sometimes it twitches, sometimes it contracts. Sometimes it surrenders, sometimes it pushes through, and sometimes it stands still just waiting for me to commit to a way, and then we flow for as long as we do. These are times of melancholy and ennui. They sweep the system in stages like grief, letting go of energies I have no idea from whence they come, but I release to get clear and be able to step wholeheartedly into the next moment. In other words, I am fine. I feel fall around me, and that leaves me feeling cozy. It is a beautiful feeling. Thanks for checking in. Blessings. That explains, in some level, the nature of energy. Because the energy moves in the now, and it is responsive. Oh, is it responsive? It pushes and forces through anything that's perceived as a blockage. There are all kinds of blockages. I used to think, because I've been spending so much time in the physical looking into this domain, that it was based on meridians and chakras and everything, but I was reminded that it is oh so much more, that it has nothing to do with those fields at all at times, that it really is a thought wave that keeps pushing itself in. It's a way that I look at myself when I'm in front of the mirror at times, when I forget who I am. It's all kinds of energies that invite me when I walk through the studio and I'm committed to do something else, when I want to walk in there and I really want to start playing and recording, and I have to push against that. I have to flow with it. I have to resist it. And I have to surrender to the idea that its time will come. The tendency towards humanity to push for no change in a changing world, ever-changing world, is one of the great follies. We seek a sense of things being the same and yearn and wish that things were the way they were. Makes me want to start singing Barbra Streisand. Not that I know how to, but the way things were, the way they've always been, to go back to that place that I've discovered that I don't really want to be much in anymore, that comfort zone, that place that calls forth my limitations and my losses and parades them around in front of me as if it's who I am. And I'm going to cry from that. Because that's just the energy that moves. I guess the thought of having that parade itself in front of me was a moving thought, because how many times have I shown up in an energy that was really a facade? And at the same time thought that it was accurate, or thought that it was necessary for the moment, when all along the energy was inviting and pulling and pushing and steering me in a direction that I apparently was unwilling to go. How many times have I given in to that energy of resistance, the energy of hesitation, missing an opportunity to be authentic or to be in integrity? I hardly can count them. But the thing is, they've all led me to this moment in time where I can access a tear because of an awareness that hit me just like a flash of light. My daughter said yesterday, she was getting ready for bed in there, and she had was looking at something, and then all of a sudden she saw a flash of light to the left. And it didn't compromise her sight or anything of that sort. And then she looked over and she saw another bright white flash over on the right side. The dimensions are shifting. The veils are really illusions, and we're beginning to see beyond the actual realms here of what we're used to. And so to understand the nature of energy and to be willing to flow into it, through it, with it, is paramount in us being able to walk from moment to moment now. You know, the stuff that we have gone through in this course, doesn't matter how much you've put into time outside of the course, or how many activities you did, or what you've committed to memory or whatever, the quote-unquote damage has been done, because the information has been planted as seeds. And it has brought about all kinds of transformation on some subtle and yet some very profound levels. I know that for certain, most of you are going through some transformations and shifts that are reawakening you to an element long forgotten. And that is the gift of the work that we do together here. I'm just sitting here reflecting on things, and it's a powerful thing to do, because that's the way the energy works. And so this call has a spontaneity about it. The call has a sensitivity about it. It has a need to reveal, and it has a taste of the now, and it has reaching back to the past and pulling pieces that seem to flit across the brow like a light. It has all of that. So I go to the first topic here. It says the nature of energy. This could have been very scientific. You will soon realize it is not. From the source it comes, a sweeping pulse of energy waves, one after another, from all directions, from all dimensions. We are receiving and we are giving, becoming stopping points, transformers, amplifiers, and beacons at the same time. We resist or we allow. The energy does not care. It moves from without and it moves from within. Each triggers and feeds the other. Like little rag dolls, we surrender and blissfully ride the current until we meet an obstruction. And it rises like a pillar of the past to block our way. We dance, we open, we feel, we remember, we emote, we release, we celebrate, we give gratitude, we honor the grace, we move on. In the flow, always in the flow. Energy is life and form. It impacts all of the vibrational bodies and gathers to create the form that supports the intention of the moment. Nothing stays the same. The spiritual adventurer knows this and allows the movement and keeps the center so that it can be experienced fully. The message must be received, discerned, and taken to heart, or it will come again, speaking louder, sounding louder, looking louder. Energy is waves that have cycles, pitch, fundamentals, overtones, harmonics, feelings, sensation, and a message. Frequencies resonate with one another, creating disturbances that alter the forms and seed the messages with new information, new insight, new coding. The sound creates and destroys the form. It changes the vibration and offers an altered perspective that brings awareness to those who listen, especially with their whole being. I'm reminded of the idea that whenever we come into the presence of another being, no matter the form, we are creating an energetic relationship there that is ripe for opportunity. Everything's about awareness, and if we believe or subscribe even lightly to what has been put forth so far in these tools for the times, we realize that indeed our higher self has worked overtime to bring us to this moment and give us the palette and the possibility that will allow us to wake up even more. How dare we turn away from that? How dare we call it something else and put our head in the sand and hide behind the walls of that comfort zone? Beware. I see a sign in the door now. It says, beware, comfort zone. Right, it says a comfort zone with a red, no comfort zones here. Red line through it. Prana or chi is the life force that brings energetic life to humans and animals and beyond. We access chi via our design and through conscious directed activity. Breathing is one way we access chi. Various persuasions like Tai Chi and Qigong utilize intentional physical movements to activate and circulate Qi. We live in a sea of energy available to us infinitely by design. When we consciously call upon it and act in accordance, we can easily undo the impact of lifetimes of ignorance. I'm going to repeat those things. We live in a sea of energy available to us infinitely by design. When we consciously call upon it and act in accordance, we can easily undo the impact of lifetimes of ignorance. The appearance of solid is just that, appearance. In the world of form, nothing is as it seems. The waves and particles, the atoms and molecules, the space between the elements align momentarily to appear to rest. We are equipped, programmed to see a form and then stop looking. This shuts down the receptivity of what is true, and we bypass the moment to be seduced by a fleeting form. How does that serve us? It does not, except to pay homage to our well-earned comfort zone. There you are. This zone limits us and averts our gaze from our light and love, and we settle again for less. All is energy in motion. Change is constant. The only, in capital letters, course is to flow, stop resistance in any way. Open the heart to walk hand in hand with the moment, listening, communicating until there is no reason to remain, and both dissipate into the nothing again, ready for the next breath of life that delivers the gift of the higher self, a ticket to ride on the journey home. I think I'm gonna be sad. I think it's today. How could you not when you hear Ticket to Ride? So he says, pay attention. Be aware. The energy feeds you all you would ever need. It guides you to know how to be in alignment, how to respond, how to embrace, how to integrate. The energy is always there. Learn to become one with it. That is our charge for these times. A brief introduction. If you want the physics of the whole thing, you know where to go. You can go online and find everything you know by Googling it. I want to look beyond the physical anymore. I want to look beyond those established definitions of how things work to see how things work. We're beginning to experience what would appear as miracles in the information, the experiences we're beginning to make manifest, one by one and one for all. Because you know that anything that occurs in your life is going to impact all of us. We're all going to feel it. Isn't it something about the butterfly that flutters its wings on one side of the earth is felt by the entire earth? Or something like that. I like that idea. It is so subtle and yet is so profound, because that which is moved, that which is energized, impacts everything. Don't ever buy into the idea that you have limited inner resources, limited energies. That is a seduction that was in the Kool-Aid, whatever you drank, whatever we all drank. It simply is not true. The other topics that we're going to look at tonight are energy blockages and clearing, energy maintenance and amplification, grounding, the auric field, sensitivity and boundaries, energy, emotion, and health. And I think that's going to get us to the end of our time. And next time you will have additional topics like chakra energetic treatments, element rituals that balance, and a couple more of things that I'm actually going to want to walk us through and experience myself too. So let's look at energy blockages and clearing. Some of this is a bit redundant, and I only say it, but it's being said over and over again so that we get it. We have actually had sessions where some of the things that I talk about in these things have been full sessions. So we bring it back. We revisit it in its application to the current topic. Energy must flow. If it is impeded, it backs up, seeking an alternate route, pushing to move, creating a disturbance that may feel like pain. The pain is an indicator of blockage. Blocking the pain is a mistake, counterproductive to the flow. The overarching need is to keep the energy flowing, moving freely through the channels, washing away any temporary impediments and nourishing cells, tissues, organs, systems, thoughts, beliefs. Yes, energy impacts all elements of us. Where is our resistance? Where is your resistance? Can you identify it, locate it in the body, communicate with it, feed it love, and let it move on? If so, you are clear and clean and in balance with all of your skills, talents, and capacities at hand to be laid upon and into the moment. It's important to see where we resist. All the indications are in the sensations in the body for now. And through the time that we started this whole journey, it was about paying attention and noticing and becoming aware of what your body is saying. The body is the key. It is not the heavens that are the key. It is the body itself that is the key. It is the most wonderful mechanism and chariot that we could ever imagine, the perfect vehicle for traveling. But it's worth nothing if we don't pay attention to it. Well, not nothing. It's worth a decent journey. But it ain't no e-ticket ride for those old Disneyland folks. The body on all levels is designed to be clear, oscillating, a clear oscillating system that is self-cleaning and self-empowering. When the natural ways are interrupted, there is blockage and the energy becomes stagnant. The stagnation occurs in the various energy bodies and descends vibrationally towards and into the physical. Paying attention allows one to catch the disturbance at the energetic level in one of the energy bodies, rather than waiting for it to impact the physical where it provides what so many say is the wake-up call. This takes focus. It takes willingness and an openness to work beyond the learned limitations in great leaps of faith. This is all about faith in these times. This transition time between the epochs of the Piscean and the Aquarian is just daily and by the moment leaps of faith and trust that the new information coming in has some semblance of validity. But it is that very willingness to take that step that makes all the difference, that keeps it coming, that gives yeses, sends yeses back to heaven, and keeps the mighty river flowing. Energy stagnates in the meridians, often at an acupuncture or acupressure point. It impacts points along the meridian both before and after the blockage. Blocked energy will store in the chakras, which are like a thematic file system where like energy events are stored temporarily to be consciously released when one wakes up to willingness and chooses outside of the same old, same old. A understand this, that the energy cues and clues are all within the body. They're contained there in terms of the location of the blockage. What may appear to be the actual location of it or where it is sensed may be up or down the line. And so that's where we start to pay attention to the inner energies, the inner guidance that begins to pour through from the actual pain itself. And this is how we enter the realms of the fantastical, the realms of miracles. I was working with someone the other day who had a long-standing knot, a pain in her butt. It was a pain in the ass, it was, of biblical proportions that had been debilitating her. And this person is a well-respected coach. And the minute we started, I was drawn to go into, and this seems no surprise, to go into what she grew up in. And lo and behold, we found that there were all kinds of places of stuff, all kinds of responsibilities that were placed upon her that were quite literally a pain in the ass. And at the point when she began to enter into that realm of that energetic blockage, it began to dissipate in waves. And it dissipated so quickly that it caused her to not be able to walk for a little bit of time as she was rubbery-legged, like a newborn foal that is out there trying to gain balance. With the blockage out of the way, the next thing you know, bam, there she was, realigning to her own balance. This is all energy. That's all it is. It's the blockages and the movement of those blockages. We can sit here tonight and do that with one another. You can do it with yourself if you don't run from the pain, if you don't run from the tingling, if you don't run from the numbness. Unexpressed woundings, unprocessed pain, unsaid words, abuses, beliefs, thought patterns, feelings unfelt, hesitations and injunctions, criticisms and self-inflicted judgments and accusations, losses, trapped energies, external cords and criticisms and words said in abusive power, moments unlived. Some of the kinds of blockages that feed the physical conditions, the numbness, the fogginess, the hopelessness, the giving up. All of these must be released to return to the awakened essence of the I am expressing as me. Remember, we are designed to be clear, to easily and naturally release energies that do not serve the true vibration of us. Let me say this again. We are designed to be clear, to easily and naturally release energies that do not serve the true vibration of us. Thus, it takes awareness, choice, and action to jumpstart the natural capacities to become fully functional again. The first step, we've said it 1,000 times, is to become aware and pay attention. The sensations of the physical and the rising of emotion are the initial callings for your conscious mind to turn inward. Sadly, we've been taught, programmed to not pay attention and turn away, medicate, or numb out with diversion. Not many are really in touch with their physical body, let alone their other energetic bodies. So, notice the subtle callings. This is the body telling you that an energy is ready to release. Give it full attention and permission to move. Intend it to move through and out of your system. Release it to the earth, ground it, and then fill up the space with white, pink, green, or purple light, or an intention, or with love. You choose. But do this, as the space will simply attract lower vibration squatters. Notice which feelings are foreign to you. Become familiar with the characteristics, the sensations, the release methods for each of the basic emotions. Choose to not let another emotion go by without being released and supported. Doing this will stop the additional suppression of energy that simply adds to the toxic reservoir of the unexpressed that fills each chakra to varying degrees. Then allow the higher self to bring you the moments that will assist you in depleting this reservoir. Move to clarity. It is a choice. It is a calling. Discern the thoughts and beliefs that no longer serve you. Weed them out and replace them with higher vibrational affirmative statements that repeat themselves into existence and application. we get so seduced by our thinking patterns, by the familiar.
This is an area that requires almost like a double agent to go in there and infiltrate and find out what's really where it's coming from and what's going on here.
What feels powerful oftentimes is manipulation, is a manipulation. It is not power at all. It's just me finally standing on the top of my pattern and wanting to express something and feeling like I'm a little boy going, oh yeah, oh yeah. If I was in a clarity place, if I was in a clean state around that, I would be able to allow the movement, witness the process, and celebrate the fact that I just don't give a shit and let it move out of me and stand there in clarity and be able to interact with someone who just triggered me and go, oh, isn't that interesting? That doesn't mean that I'm a non-feeling, non-reactive, non-responsive being. It just means that I'm just not attached to that anymore. And that is the main gift of the work that I've done for 25, 30 years, is I'm just not attached to a lot of this. And then having said that, it wasn't long ago, like almost a day, when I was actually attached to something that I had seen 1,000 times. And before I knew it, I was right in it, kicking and screaming and fighting and pushing and trying to keep an energy there because it felt for a breath, for a moment, like I was in my power. But through that energy and through the eyes of where I'm coming from now, I also saw that it had potential to be damaging and really was damaging. Not only to me, but to the recipient. These energies move in these times like fireballs. They come along, they move, they're there, they're gone. What happened? What did you see? It just comes in and goes out. Is it released or is it a wake up? I think it's both. Discern the thoughts, I said that. Begin to move away from anything that diminishes your energy. Make different choices about what you let in regarding music, information, situations, and people. Choose life-affirming in anything that is before you. Ask your heart for guidance or use muscle testing or pendulums or divining cards or divinity cards or meditation to make informed choices. Learning to trust and act upon the guidance is imperative. Then make sure you celebrate and affirm the results when they manifest. Tend to your environment and fill it with color, plants, visual and auditory pleasing elements, fresh air and clarified vibrations. Make being clear and clean energetically your priority. Now, I'm not saying that we're here to new age everything and just see, oh, I only like see the light. It's just so beautiful. I see it right in you as they're punching my face. No, that's not what living's about. We are still in a plane of duality where we have interaction with one another and with things and with situations. Showing up authentically, and by that I mean not being triggered by the reservoir of toxic debris that we've held on to in one or more chakras, allows us then to have an engaging experience with the moment. To allow emotion flow and take accountability for it and let it move and claim it and say, whoa, what a ride. That's a clear place. And then to know that there's another side to that where I stand completely in my power, having gone through what may be called an orgasmic experience of the movement of that vibration, the movement of that energy itself, that emotion. Tend to your environment and fill it with color, plants, visual and auditory pleasing events, fresh air, and clarified vibrations. We move on to the energy maintenance and amplification section. Amplification. Once you've cleared and cleaned your residual energy to a supportive level, then you turn your attention to maintenance and amplification. Doing so allows you to always have the inner resources available to meet the form of your moments. It is a conscious way to live. Learn some breathing techniques that meet your energetic needs. We'll look at some of those. We've done it already. I'll just bring up the greatest ones that I've found, maybe one or two more. The relaxing breath, that's the one where we count like a rectangle. 6, 4, 6, 4. the breath of fire, breathing in through the nose to the belly to get energy in. Circular breathing so that I can feel, so that I can allow the movement of the emotion of the blockage to ride the wave out of me, through me, and then out of me. The cleansing breath that forces me to actually access the bottom of the well, the place where the residual air, where a lot of the energetic memories are even held, where the grief is held, at the bottom of the lung that never sees the light of day, that never gets the new chi, because I don't breathe deeply enough. If that's you, then it's time to actually learn that cleansing breath, which we'll do. Another suggestion is to do daily chakra tunings with sound, voice, chant, song, and movement. We've talked about this since we began, different ways to do that. We'll run through a couple next week. We'll remind ourselves of them. But start your day with one, because it gets you ready for whatever arrives. Clear your energy before you even get out the door, and then you go out with the best of you. Check in during the moments of your day to see which chakra requires attention, and then give it. Give it to it. If you're going to take the time to pay attention, respond. Respond and feed. It doesn't take long to breathe into an area that's starting to feel compromised, that got triggered by something that occurred right before you in the breath before. Clear it. Clear it. It's why it's there. End your day with some toning sirens that shake off any energetic debris that is attached to your auric field. Also, spend some time speaking the unsaid words and feelings of the day into the toilet. When you're complete, then flush. Do not ever, ever go to bed with words unsaid. Clear that crap. Take time to sing and move and dance. These will stimulate the chakras and release any debris that is actually ready to move. And you don't even need to know what it's about. Just move it. You dance yourself into bliss. Or you sing yourself into a new higher vibration. Surround yourself with people who are of like vibration and frequency so that you amplify one another and support one another in moments of hesitation or forgetting. This is the frontier for me. I have all kinds of friends and people of like vibration whenever I go, and I go work with groups that are always like that. When I get home, I'm torn between two lovers. I'm torn between the idea that I just need to recoup and to reawaken my own vibration and to recharge, and the large amount of things that I want to do in terms of my work. And yet, I'm playing out something that I did from the point where I was put in the incubator as a little baby boy, playing out again the isolation and the separation. It's a fine line for me, because they all serve me to some degree. And I don't even consider that comfort zone. It's just a place where I need to recharge, and it's a way that I need to recharge. It would be different if I wasn't out all the time interacting with people on very significant levels. But this is the result of all the work that you and I have done. We start to look at ourselves with a little bit clearer eye. We look at the things that we do with discernment that goes, you know what? Maybe there's something else to the way it's being done there. Maybe there's something underneath that. So rocks are lifted up. You know, stones are not left unturned, because there could be value in that. Don't become completely obsessive about it, looking for crap. There's no point in that, because you'll always find it. But what good is it? What's the point? We have a track record of how we do things. We have a track record of choices that we've made, and we still can learn from those. The higher we get in vibration, the more we're able to look back on our choices and our experiences and glean more information from them and gain wisdom that we weren't capable of seeing in those times. Cut your energetic cords whenever you leave meetings or interactions with people. Also, set your field before you are in front of or around people. Breathe and speak your birth name 7 times. Use a Tibetan mantra that protects the Hung Vajrapa. Cut your cords. We'll look at that a little more when we look at boundaries. Eat higher vibrational foods that lean towards the living. stay hydrated and be in fresh, clean air as much as possible. These are things that take care of your vehicle. It's like a good oil change now and then. It's like washing the car. It's like changing the tires. On and on I can go with the analogies there. But you know what I'm saying. Get out into nature and download and pull in the life force. Pay attention to the animals that come to you and listen for their messages. Watch clouds and feel the breeze in your face. Stand near or in water. Get direct sun. Yes, I said it. Get direct sun. All these are pulling in vibration that grounds and supports you. Listen to music that is in alignment with life. Read books that support your vibration. Watch movies that are high in content that affirms life. If you choose otherwise for the sake of entertainment, set a protective field before you enter the theater or turn on the TV. Also, do regulate the mindless programming that is such an inherent part of television and demeaning, violent, sexist, fear-producing shows that infiltrate the channels and also your energetic self. I have to sit here and say, and there's some great shows on. I like them. I like them. I've been watching The Leftovers lately, which is a very interesting show, worth looking at. I watched Ray Donovan about a man who is just so consumed by the rage and anger of the past that he doesn't even know how to do it, but he's making a living out of it. There's a variety of shows that wouldn't seem spiritual, but they're organic and they're visceral. And they're not gratuitous violence or anything. It allows me to actually feel on all levels. Be good to yourself. Be kind in thought and action. Be of service to those around you, but cut the cords when you leave. Empower your environment with color, water, stones, plants, light, sound, and fresh air. Keep it maintained and clean. That's my frontier. Fill it with elements that celebrate you. Smudge often. Change the vibration. I've been where I am for over 20 years. There are nooks and crannies of old stale vibration that I run into now and then that catch me off guard, trip me, and cause me to, you know, stub my toe here and there. Or they bring out a slap in the face, or they cause my heart to burst wide open in a moment, you know, and release something. It's kind of cool having them around. On the other hand, I wonder what it's like without those things. That's my frontier for now. Find a variety of ways to go within for guidance, whether it's meditation, going into silence, guided journeys, listening to music, nature walks, time alone, whatever it is, do it. Hug a lot, affirm a lot, love a lot, be grateful a lot, move a lot, sing a lot, smile a lot, get adequate sleep and take naps, be around children, see God in every face. Any one of those things will help you to maintain your energy field and to amplify the power and presence of that field itself. It's all starting to sound like self-care, because that's what it is. It's energetic self-care. It's the willingness to pay attention, to call up that which is ready to move, and to seek a place of release so that you can find home. Because we're going there, whether we're kicking or screaming, and we can do it with a grace and an ease and a flow, or we can fight ourselves back to the place of awareness. I don't know, both are fun, except I have plenty of experience of pushing and fighting my way back home. I think I'm going to work with this one for a while. Let's go to grounding. We are in a symbiotic relationship with Earth. She is a source of energy and power for all life, and this amplifies the more we choose it. As established when we discussed Gaia, the Earth is actually reflecting in real time the collective state of the consciousness of humans as a whole. The raising of her vibration in these times is aligned with the raising of the human vibration with the influx of higher frequency energy over the past 25 years. For our purposes here, it is necessary to know that the Earth serves our vibration in powerful ways. So it is essential that we become aware of and create regular attunement with the earth in order to live fully in our body. To be grounded means to be fully integrated in the physical body, aware of the movement and the flow of emotions, thinking in life-affirming thoughts, and knowing our expanded connection and sourcing from the cosmos. In other words, we live in our home. Too many people are not grounded and thus feel lost and separate. Spiritual seekers often do so at the expense of their body, where unprocessed woundings and abuses move like specters in the darkness. Grounding involves a choice to feel the body, to establish and massage a connection with Earth, to trust that life affirms life, to allow a two-way communication stream with many forms of guidance, and to know that we are powerful and safe by both design and conscious integration. It is imperative to always and in all ways be grounded. It allows us to be fully present in the moment with access to all of our skills, talents, powers, and capabilities. How to do so is a many-sided adventure. For example, be aware of your feet upon the earth. Stomp your feet and know that each step activates the root chakra connection. Activate awareness of the earth star, oval plate, chakra 18 inches below the feet in the earth, and know that it is the energetic interface with earth. Bring up the power and clarifying energy of the earth through the left foot and leg to then wash through the complete body energetic. Any debris or toxicity is swept down the right side to the right where it moves down the right side, out through the sole of the right foot to be used by the earth as energy for the highest good. Visualize roots or lines of energy going from each foot and the root chakra to the molten core of the earth. Visualize and feel the energy moving, coming up through the three roots to solidify the connection with the planet. This is very powerful. Dance, especially native dances that have solid steps on the earth. Chant and dance. Kuake leno leno mahote. Hey, you know, hey, you know. Hey and Noah, Wichitai Tai Timura, Huranika, Huranika, Hene, Hene Noah. Mother, I feel you under my feet. Mother, I feel your heartbeat. Father, I see where the eagles fly. Spirit gonna take me high and higher. Hey, you know, hey, you know, hey, you know, ah. Hey, you know, hey, you know, hey, you know, ah. Wani wachi alo, wani wachi alo, walk on ketanka, walk on ketanka. Wani wachi alo, wani wachi alo, walk on ketanka, walk on ketanka. Wataho, taho. Wataho, taho, wake up, arise, life is calling you. Wake up, arise, life is greeting you. Mother Earth, God, she is calling you. Mother Earth, God, she is greeting you. Just a sampling of those beautiful dances and those chants that pull us back to our body and unite us with the earth, pulling us down into the very recesses, the bowels, the depth, the deepness, where that strength and that power live, where our tissues are molded, where our vibration is held. Get out on the earth. Walk barefooted. Roll down a hill. That's one I haven't done in a while. It's the last time you got itchy in the grass because you laid on it. Spend time in the ocean. in a river, in a puddle, if that's all you got. But stand and sit and lay upon big rocks and boulders. Just be there like a lizard, just soaking in the sun, feeling the implant of information that comes up through the very molecules and atoms of the rocks, the stones, the history of the earth being implanted into your being, into your awareness, like a hologram that feeds you somewhere down the highway. Watch clouds and breathe deeply. Pick up stones to carry for a while. Pick them up. Put them in your left hand. Put them in your left hand. Walk with them. Carry them. Hold them. Listen. And then when you're done, you transfer it to the right and drop it with a blessing. The stone does not want to go back where it was, by the way. The idea of making sure you put it back where it was is the stories of horseshoe crabs and other things. Sorry, I'm just totally amusing myself. Stand in the wind and let it cleanse your auric field. Front side and back side. I love the wind. You get out there and it just sweeps through your auric field and it knocks stuff off better than any Sahedup Na is going to do. It clears it. It is a natural cleanser. Stand there and lean, especially those winds that lean in there and they bite and they hit your face. Let those sweep through your field. Be cold for a moment. Feel what that is like. Really feel what it is like before the knee-jerk response. Oh, God, that's too cold. I don't mean to be mocking that, but I hear it too often. Be cold. Be cold. Wake up. Wake up. Hug a tree. There, I've said it. I've got two trees right outside here that are a gateway to some dimension. I know it's a portal. And I walk between them. They're probably about 12 feet apart. And the way they've grown is they grow away from one another. It's just uncanny. It is just uncanny the way that they've set this up. It pulls you in. And when I go down there and sit between them, the rays of the sun look different. And it leads me down to the neighbor's yard. And it's not always a pleasant place to go. But I'm going to find a way. Talk and listen to plants. Drink teas that bring you into your body. Hold on to minerals and gems, especially smoky quartz and obsidian, to give an earth connection. Go to power spots. I mean, just why not? Man, take a vacation up at Mount Shasta or in the Grand Canyon or any of these holy, powerful land places. Go to southern Utah. Drive I-70 from the turnoff of I-15 and head out till you hit Grand Junction. It is a magic land. It's like you're driving through the bottom of the ocean without the water. Go there. Go to Bryce Canyon. And to see the power of the wind and the rain and how color and the earth interact to give you the vibration, to feed your spirit, to feed your whole being. Go there. Go to the sacred places. Go drive on the east side of all the volcanoes going up the Cascades and see them and witness them and stand in their presence. See if you can find the bottom of Crater Lake. Why not? Go stand in the Pacific. Go stand in the shoreline, the West Coast. Feel that power of life being born there in the West Coast. It's like the energy moves from the west to the east. It sweeps across like the bow of the ship. We're all at the front of the ship, the Titanic. Not that it's going to collapse, but we're out there going, I feel so alive. I feel it. I feel it. And you feel the weather being born here that sweeps across the land. Go to these power spots and go to intersection points of ley lines. Most of the old cathedrals were built on very, very interesting and very powerful intersection points of ley lines of the meridian system of the earth. They have a high vibration. It doesn't matter what the heck has happened there as far as doctrine goes. Sure, that's floating around up there somewhere, but the earth itself is gonna give you a different vibe. Go into sacred spaces. I've got two major books here that are on sacred spaces around the world. I'm not going to be foolish enough right now to say I'm going to visit all of those before I leave this earth. Although that might be a nice idea. Who knows? Some of them don't call to me at all. Go into caves. Get into the womb of the earth. Get into the viscera of the earth herself and feel what that is like. I think every state's got some caves that you can go to. And then go into mountains. Feel them. And then shower and bathe, especially in Epsom salts. Wash your hands and feet. Invite yourself back into your body. Do a soul retrieval. Use rattles and smudging with white sage, cedar, and sweetgrass. Use crystal bowls or Tibetan bowls or gongs to clear the field and reactivate the feet. Breathe. Make sound with your voice using the ooh, or oh phonetic. Move while you do it. Drum alone or in a circle. Draw or look at mandalas or sacred geometric shapes. Om while you're doing it. In other words, have a ball. These are all ways that you ground. You use your senses to bring yourself back to body. When life delivers its stuff, you have a myriad of ways to get back into body and then be able to see it with new eyes and respond to it in a different way. Use them. Use them. We move on to the auric field, sensitivity, and boundaries. Outside of the physical body are the energetic bodies that comprise what is referred to as the aura or the auric field. This is your personal moat between you and the outside world and world's energetic influence, though truthfully, the field must be outside the aura, so all bodies are protected. The energy bodies move out in variable distances from the physical through the emotional, the mental, the etheric, the astral, the etheric template, the celestial body, and the cathetic body. According to Cindy Dale, there are 12 auric layers that include and add to the energy bodies themselves. Suffice it to say that there's a lot going on in your energy field. Energy boundaries are fields that change often in a moment from strong to weaker, and vice versa. They fluctuate due to situation, intent, triggering, lack of awareness, poor choices, and actual energetic attack. They can be set and shored up consciously. They need to be watched over. And the primary means with which we do this is awareness, paying attention, and then responding. The fields protect, filter, and magnetize. This is what the aura does. It protects you from a vibration that is unlike your own that would pull your energy down. It filters out vibrations that are not in alignment with the frequency of your being, with your intention, or with how you're living in this moment. They also... Oh, I lost. Where is that? Magnetize. You use your field to magnetize that which you desire to come to you. You set the field to be a vehicle that attracts the energies in the field of those that you desire. So, those fields are great. Use them. These fields are designed to be protective, reflecting and dispersing lower frequency vibrations around us all the time. But they have been compromised by the moments of living, by misinformation, by trauma, by ignorance, by deceit, by low-frequency relationships, and haven't we all had a few of those? The protective sheath becomes porous and damaged, even ripped and shredded, and this allows all kinds of vibrations and frequencies to enter and compromise your protective energy field. This will, in turn, diminish the rate of the chakra revolutions and introduce dis-ease to the lower-level bodies, especially the physical. We are at the mercy of electromagnetic energy, magnetic energies, and human-made sound, sight, and military fields of energy. Porous boundaries result in an overwhelming impact of energy. This can be overwhelming. Well, there it must be, because you said it twice, Mark. This can be overwhelming and anxiety-producing, with the person not even being able to tell what is theirs and what isn't. If you have developed or you know someone who's having, you know, a hypersensitivity, that's an indication that the boundaries are in porous and weak condition, and they need to be shored up. Empaths, excessively empathic people who pick up the vibes, are actually intuitives who use their senses as their vehicle of gathering information. And the clearer we get, the more open to the information we are. Many people don't choose to regulate how those boundaries work, and therefore they're just bombarded with 24/7 energy. It's like hyperactivity, you know, tripled. It's just overwhelming and too much for the system. An empath is one who is intuitive in a sensory way. They feel others, often picking up information just by being around them. If an empath's boundaries are weak, then the influx of wayward energies from all over becomes quickly overwhelming. There's that overwhelming word again. Some people are even hesitant to venture out of their home because of the potential for overwhelm. Fourth time. In addition, there are energy vampires who are depleted. No! And just want energy from anyone, especially one of the light. Energy vampires is a name given to them because they suck the energy right out of you, if you let them. Suffice it to say that the need for strong boundary setting and maintenance is paramount in these times. What follows are some useful tools just for that. Set your boundaries whenever you are in a situation that requires some protection. Do so by speaking your birth name, using the Tibetan mantra Hung Vajrape, or calling in the Hindu mantra Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. All of those work very powerfully to keep your field set. Set your boundary before you leave home in the morning or before you enter a new situation with new people. Does that mean you're a fearful being? No, that just means you're being conscious of energy. That's not living a life of fear at all. That's walking in the presence and the power, knowing full well that you can fill up a room with your protected energy and be accessible in ways that people don't even get, but they get energetically. When you leave a situation, make sure you cut the energetic cords that were put into place. We know this one. Using the hands like knife blades, chop across the front and back of the body chakras to cut the cords, saying the Egyptian empowerment, Sah, Cherub, Nah. Doing so will keep any attachments to your field from descending into the more physical bodies to create a condition. Disease starts in the external bodies and descends into physical form. Catch the energy before it has a chance to descend into form. Stomp on the earth several times to activate your earth connection and set your field. Extending your right hand with palm facing outward, draw a circle around you to do so. This is called casting a circle, and it comes from our pagan brothers, our witchcraft brothers and sisters, who were involved in creating a sacred space for themselves before they got waylaid by Puritan judgment and a chance to, a well-planned attack that would diminish their effectiveness and create a state of fear. Oh, did I say that? Okay. Casting your circle and setting your space is a cool thing to do. It really does work. As your palm is extended outward, you're basically saying no. The other thing is to use the word no when you need to use it. It's a pretty all-encompassing word. Hey, man, you want to go to the show? No. Why not? No. No. No, 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 no. You'd probably be a little more creative with it and a little more, you know, a little more if you need to explain or anything like that. But don't feel the need to do so. People are uncomfortable with you taking good care of yourself. Don't let that happen. There's no need. We're shoring up the boundaries here. Visualize and intend a sphere of mirrors in silver around you, reflecting all energy away. This is very interesting. It won't let anything in. It's reflecting everything away. And it really is pretty much just sending it right back to the perpetrator, if indeed they're sending you weak energy. If you want to walk out in a a section of mirrors around you. Energetically, it's an interesting thing to do. What may happen is nobody will know you're there. You won't be seen. I saw on the internet, it was as I was looking for a photo to go with the page, there's a picture of a woman sitting on the grass holding a big oval mirror right at her body that is reflecting the grass itself. So it looks like there's a head and two hands and a lap there in the middle of the grass. It is a really kind of cool thing to look at. But that's what we're looking at. You putting yourself and surrounding yourself in light can make you energetically invisible. Golden light, when you're speeding down the highway, seems to cause the local authorities to not be able to see you. It's been proven time and time again. Don't say that I said that. Visualize and attend the mirrors. Okay, you have the capacity to regulate your boundaries and can invite others in or keep them away. With these quote-unquote extreme measures where you're keeping everything out, you always have the opportunity and the capacity to go ahead and let people in or situations in. You regulate the boundary, you regulate the frontier so that you are basically keeping your energy intact, purring at a higher frequency so that you can access your powers and capabilities. It is usually not a fear-based thing, although at times it is useful in a situation that is fearful, fear-filled. Become aware of your personal field and how you can set the field according to circumstances. You can sense energies all around you. Practice doing this and call it up when you need it. Pay attention to how a room feels when you enter it. And where do you feel the sensations in the room and in your body? Notice how people activate some feelings. Certain kinds of people, certain looks of people activate certain sensations. Make notes and use that in the future in helping you to discern what it is that you're being around. Tend your boundaries when you are out. Learning to do so will result in more flowing interactions that leave you feeling vibrant and alive. And remember to cut the cords no matter how good it feels. The last topic is energy, emotion, and health. Please refer back to the tools for consciousness about emotional literacy, tools for the times section on emotion for more on this. It's got some elements of it with a few additions. The sea of energy is everywhere. We are immersed in it inside and outside. The more we allow the flow, then the more fluid our moments. It is the path of least resistance that gives us a life of more beauty and delight. Our old unexpressed energies cause blockages and triggers. The energy aligns with the stimulus, and at any vibration in alignment with the moment's vibe is triggered for the collective release. In other words, the cesspool of anger that you may carry, or the cesspool of fear that is held in second chakra, can be triggered by a like event, and that in itself becomes, let's just say, fuel for the fire. When one leaves, they all leave. And do remember the power of this. If it is emotional in nature, let me say again, the energy aligns with the stimulus, and any vibration in alignment with the moment's vibe is triggered for collective release. If it is emotional in nature like most are, then a wash of that emotion ignites a high-impact release that can be overwhelming to self and to others. This is the land of crimes of passion. And this, in a sense, is a boundary issue. More on that in a moment. It follows that the more one is emotionally literate, knowing how to feel, identify, support, and clear each emotion, then the more likely the energy field stays robust and in alignment. Organs are aligned with the chakras as well. When there is a condition that develops in an organ, there is a high probability that the accompanying emotion is contributing mightily. We are not supported as a culture to release emotion consistently and safely, so we hesitate and do not trust. Once you start doing this, not the not trusting part, once you start doing the release, you will be amazed and drawn to being clear and light-filled all the time. So then I quickly talk about four of the emotional elements. Fear is a second chakra issue. The wounds of life are contained there. The wounds of life contained there are expressed through the throat. Thus, they are companion chakras, the throat and the sacral. Using the voice, speaking the truth, singing, chanting, sounding, all serve to assist in clearing the sacral chakra center. Likewise, any release of old energetic debris in that chakra will likely clear throat issues. Fear fades when facts are faced. In a fear-driven society, there is so much that we do not know. There is so much that we do not know what is ours. Good boundaries will help discern. Fear moves through movement and through shaking and through the use of the voice. Remember that. Anger is a solar plexus issue. It manifests as rage, criticism, judgment, sarcasm, power, powerlessness, weak will, difficulty making decisions, etc. Anger energy explodes from the rush of protective adrenaline like a wave in a wash that fades quickly. Anger expressed healthfully involves movement and sound. I have to fix these sentences. Usually done away from the quote-unquote source of the anger. Solid boundaries will allow us to stay solid in our power, making clear decisions and choosing to quickly act upon them and adjust as necessary. So what we're doing by setting boundaries, by monitoring energies to try and penetrate our field, is that we're keeping our chakras in their capacity to do that which they are designed to do. No chakra in its right mind wants to storehouse energy because it loves the freedom and the feel of the wind in its hair as it just rotates and moves like a tornado. It prefers that. So cut the chakra some slack and quit stuffing stuff. Sadness is a heart and lung issue. The unprocessed pain of broken relationships, abandonment, abuse, and misinformation leave many wounded and in line for heart disease or lung issues, cancers, etc. The unprocessed tears can drown a lung in the water. I believe that's how my mom went. All those tears that she was so proud not to share eventually caused her to drown because they took care of the inside out. It was fascinating. The collective loss and subsequent self-judgment and criticism can break a heart in two. Clarity comes from allowing the pain to flood through the chest and emerge as tears. One cries as long as necessary. Releasing the energy allows for one to value oneself and then express love cleanly to create relationships that actually work. Grief is a journey involving all of the emotions in phases. It takes as long as it does for each individual. Strong boundaries will allow one to honor their process and its time. Keeping out those who grow impatient with our sniveling is an actually beautiful thing. One is in health because they are aware of what it takes to support the natural body processes that are designed to do so. Releasing all emotions via allowing their process keeps us from depositing more energetic toxicity in the precious chakras. This in turn allows for the higher self to call forth situations and people that will trigger the release of the reservoirs of energy, or to at least find release means a release means it does not involve others. Again, I'll work with that to make it better. Chanting, exercise, using media as stimulation, singing, planned exercises to assist remembering, gestalt interactions, using bataka or wiffle bats to let it out, dancing, improvisational movement and sound. These are some of the ways to clear the old, to assist in returning us to our peace and power. What you are doing is creating the perfect conditions to allow the natural flow to take place, for the design to take over, which in turn reawakens the fullness of life and inspires us to be more conscious and active in living. Energy moves. It moves as emotion. Emotion washes through. We release and we return to center. We shore up our energetic boundaries to ensure that we are reducing opportunities to add more low-frequency energy and unexpressed emotion. We then live as if we are whole as we move ever closer to actually being so. Came in under clock tonight. 3 minutes left. So we'll begin now. We should have fun with the, not should, we will have fun with our experience of working with energies. And so I'll have a whole series of things we can work with, things we can say, things we can actually go through, things we can do. And when applied to all of this, I think it'll be a beautiful combination of the two. So to underscore the theme of tonight is to realize, one, is that everything is energy. And because of that, we might as well surrender to that flow. Resist the tendency to want to hold things in place. Look beyond the forms into the field itself to find out what's really going on. And know that we interchange and interact and exchange energies all the time with whatever we are in relationship with. That does not mean hanging out together necessarily, or living together, or buying a van and traveling the country singing Grateful Dead songs, although it could. It really is about whatever I find myself doing at the moment I walk out the door, I am in relationship with life. I am in relationship with all forms. Monitoring my boundaries by paying attention to my energetic field, the sensations that show up in my body, is a conscious and reliable thing to do, because we can make adjustments on the fly to make sure that energies don't find a hold in our precious field. Why would we want that? We do our preparation before we walk out in the morning. It's as important as putting on your underwear, I believe, and that we actually go ahead and tend our field before we walk out so that we are looking sharp, feeling sharp, and are sharp, protected. And then through the course of the day, as we monitor our moments, we make sure we just cut the cords. You know that cutting a cord can be as easy and look to the outside as if you were brushing off your clothing. Who would have thunk? And then by the time you reach home at the end of the day, you make sure that whatever energy you drag beyond dragging home with you is left best outside at the door. Second best is left on the bathroom floor being sucked down the toilet. There is no third best. Just let it go. Tonings, running sirens, all of that can help you clear at the end of the day, and that is a potent thing to do. Your sleep is meant for going to school. It's meant for clearing, it's meant for communication, for interacting with higher dimensional beings. It is not about processing your pain. It is not about making sure that whatever was unsaid finds a way to move itself out of your energetic field. That is a waste of this precious commodity that you carry, this energy field, in my opinion. Living consciously involves you making conscious choices. Doing so calls for certain activities that are repetitious, and they serve you over and over to keep you in a place of clarity. If that's what you want, then that's what you do. Having said that, you can do what you want, because your energy field in this dimension of polarities and its dimension of free will is really yours to do what you want with. If you want to feel overwhelmed by life, if you want to feel impacted by everyone you meet, do so, because there's probably a purpose for that if that's your desire, because maybe it's serving some clarity, some bit of information. It's helping you understand maybe past life choices or something of that sort. But if you're here to really get the best of what the earth has to offer, then along with the whole host of the 14, 15, 16 other tools for the times, this is one to add to the arsenal. And it incorporates and includes many of the others, and it allows us to begin to see that all of these tools are beginning to create relationship with one another to give us our whole self back. In the process of reawakening, we call upon that which is available to us, one, by design, two, by gifting, three, by choice, and four, by, I don't even know what to say. But here it is. How does it get better than this? We ask life. How does it get better than this? We ask life. And we get that better because we pay attention to the boundaries through the nuances of our moments. We use our senses. We use the feeling, the sensation, and we play and dance with the energy field in a myriad of ways that allows us to have the illusion of control so that we bring to our life that which we desire. It is a magnificent dance. It is a beautiful dance. And I'm so grateful you chose to be a part of tonight's talk. Next week we are looking at activities and experiences with working our energy field to not only maintain it and clear it, but to amplify it as well and to know how to do that. In 2 weeks, we shall be looking at embracing new paradigms of belief. We're going to go into the domain of the mind and begin to see what's planted there and to see what kind of thoughts and what kind of beliefs we can begin to replace. We already have a lot of clues about that, but that'll be a fun one to get into. After that, we look at prayer as a conscious connection. We're not necessarily looking at the folded hands type, but we'll see what unfolds. We'll go ahead and take a diversion and move into sacred sounds, working with a bunch of mantras and chants. And then we'll say, living as love from an activated heart, that will bring block three to a close. And not until 2016, gosh, we'll be so much older by then, we'll actually begin to access and use guidance. Access and use our divine design and claim it. Practice being in healthy balance. Some of these titles might change. Connected with ascended masters and more. Really work with living in the now far beyond what our dear friend Eckhart Tolle has given us, which was powerful, but we're so farther beyond that. We'll have new strategies for conscious living, and finally we'll reach that domain of oneness, and then we'll all as a group transcend off the planet at the ending of the phone call. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? All right, I'm going to stay on the line in my level of frivolity from whence I know where it came. I know not whence from where it came. So it's here, and maybe it's just a release of energy from the pent-up melancholy last 2 or 3 days that I painted with that text. So anyway, here we are. Thanks for being a part of this tonight, and really monitor your energy and support yourself well. Energetic self-care. And by the way, if you're really intrigued by this subject and want to come to Las Vegas in December, you can, because I'm doing a 3-day course on energetic self-care. Yes, be there. Also, later this month, if you want to come up to Lake Arrowhead in beautiful California, Southern California, just above Palm Springs, and experience a in-the-moment 2 days with working with energies with people to help clear off a bunch of debris and also plant new seeds. In other words, I don't know what the heck we're going to be doing, but it's an opportunity to come together and to create magic and to create high vibration. That's happening as well. So if you're down in the Southern California area and are able to do that, or if you feel like flying south, why not? All right. The link will have to come out, let's see, by the end of the day tomorrow. I am pretty much finished with most of what I've shared here, so I think I can get it off very quickly. Any comments, questions?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to call you on your land phone in a few minutes briefly, okay?
Sure.
Because, you know, all right, it's Nancy. I'll call you in a few minutes.
Thanks, Nancy. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Anyone? And now that it's all over, the birds can nest again. All right. Return to your lives, your beautiful, magnificent lives. I don't know what I've had. What was in this water? Goodness gracious. Blessings, blessings, blessings. We are done now. Stop the call.